and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham Ashby. And today we continue our discussion looking at parenting from the perspective of male and female, mother, father, raising children, or rather raising a single child. So today we have on the line from their homes in St. Michael and St. Philip, we have Liette Fields. Welcome to the program, Liette.
Morning, thank you. Good to be here.
And Renison Lawrence. Welcome to the program, Renison.
Good morning, thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you for agreeing to be part of our conversation around parenting. And we already know that parenting is a very challenging job. It's a loving job as well and an extremely rewarding job. So today we want to hear your thoughts about parenting and especially a little about yourself having a disability and being a parent. So who will start first?
Okay, I'll start first. I'm 42 years old. My son is 20 right now, but when I had my incident, he was 11 at the time, and he really had to step up to the plate because I could not walk for almost 3 years. This is 10 years now. And so it was really hard, like, to do things with him for school, taking him to the doctor, can go to the supermarket, anything like that. So he really had to step up and do those things. And he has been a great help to me. He has never given me any trouble. He's still by my side today, and I'm very grateful for that.
Okay. What about you, Renaissance?
Well, for me, it's been a little different. I'm also 42 years old. For me, it was more of a case of I had my stroke almost 2 years ago. The 25th of June would be 2 years to be exact. And I'm a father of two kids, because my oldest is 22. And she was there for me all throughout my time when I was in hospital and stuff. And my youngest is 12 years old. He's a different challenge because he suffers from ADHD, so he's a very active child, and you know, it became a little difficult over the last couple of years, especially for him, due to the factors that I'm not able to do now that I used to do with him, like run and play football and cricket. It has been a challenge on that front.
Okay, you said, Renison, that you would have had your stroke 2 years ago, and your elder child was there for you. Speak to us a little about what that involved. You were hospitalized. Did you have to do physiotherapy?
Yes, I was in the hospital for 4 months. And then after when I came out, I was doing physiotherapy. She was my main supporter and backer dealing with most of what I had to do. She was always there for me, making sure that I was always good. I got what I needed when I was in hospital. I can remember many days waking up to find grapes and coconut water, two of my favorite stuff, on the table, knowing that my daughter had passed while I was sleeping. So,
okay. And how would you say the physiotherapy has helped in restoring some of your ability to move, your movement?
Well, for me, I found what I've had now is that it's helped me mostly, especially because at one point, I didn't have any use of my left side at all. So I'm able to walk and everything now, so thanks to the physiotherapy. But I'm still having some problems with my left hand, which I haven't yet had full use of my left hand as yet. But it's a lot better than how I was when I first came to the hospital, and I could really thank having the physical therapy, actually, because, like, my fingers were crimped and bent. I can actually straighten out my fingers. Before, I wasn't even, because I can remember when I was in hospital, they were telling me that they weren't sure if I would actually have use of my left side again.
Alright, so both of you would have mentioned the fact that you currently have a 12-year-old son with attention deficit hyperactive disorder.
Yes, ma'am.
And Liette, you, at the time of your incident, your son was 11, and yes. both of you mentioned that you were a bit restricted in being able to move around with them, play with them, some of the physical games. Speak to us about some of the other activities you may have engaged in to help foster that relationship, that bond with your child.
Well, at the time, he had now started secondary school, so he was now feeling his way through that. So there wasn't really much activity for him to be doing, but his schoolwork and stuff, because I was training to be a nurse at the time. Had to put that on the back burner at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But to, like, get to the meetings at the school, and we used to go to the beach and just go for a walk or whatever, I could not do that. Nothing at all that I could not do. So that was a bit depressing for me.
Mm-hmm.
All I could do, I was on crutches for almost 3 years, so there was nothing at all I could do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're walking unaided now without the crutches?
No, I use a cane now.
Okay.
I use a cane now, yeah. Because my right leg is the problem. I have no meniscus and can't really bend or straighten, so steps are a bit difficult. Yeah.
Okay. Renaissance?
Well, for me, it's been more of a... You've gotten more into really sitting down, talking and communicating, and most of our time spent like playing games on the computer and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the fact that also he was also dealing with the loss of his mother, who died a couple of months after I came out of the hospital. She passed away, and so most of my time with him has been spent just getting that quality time with him and having discussions about what he wants, doing what he wants to be and stuff like that. That's how we end up spending most of our time.
Okay. Would you say, Renaissance, that your son having this challenge, the ADHD, has been a challenge to you as well?
Yes, it has been. It was a challenge even before I had my stroke. So even with my stroke, it's brought it out even more, because he having his ADHD, because he's very, very active, and getting to actually keep quiet has been always been a task. So,
okay,
stuff that he would love, he stuff that we should do together, like to keep it, to put him in a place where he, you know, sometimes they want to tire him out in order for him to relax himself on the night, stuff like that. I was unable to do that now, so he would find himself in getting up to a lot of mischief that he's not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And
what about the whole topic of helping them to grow emotionally? Leah, you would have referred to your son having to step up to a lot more responsibility at 11 when you had your incident.
Yeah.
And Renaissance, your son is ADHD, which can also present some challenges at the emotional level for your son. How would you say that you have been helping your children to develop at the emotional level?
Actually, at this time right now, for me, I'm still working on it, because he still has a lot of developing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And even like at this point in time, with him being home now with the whole COVID-19, to even settle down and be a part of his class can turn to be difficult, because
mm-hmm.
he always, even in school, one thing, best problem I had with him in school was that he's always ready to go. He's always on the go. He would get up for no part, like walk, and just walk around. So being pressured with him being home, I've actually seen what his children were dealing with. So for me, it's just the best I can do is just sit down and talk to him and try to hope that he takes in what I'm saying. But sometimes it feels like it's going into one ear and going in next.
Right.
That's true.
All right. And Leah?
Okay. Well, my son and I, we've always been close. But for my injury, we have grown closer. And as I said, he has been no trouble at all. He's a very quiet, pleasant child. And he's sensitive. And since my accident, he has become more sensitized to people with disabilities. And, you know, sometimes he will come home and he will make sure that I have eaten. He didn't even want to go to school at one point in time because he was wondering, you know, how would I get around in the house and get stuff done. But I had other help. My cousin and some friends of mine will come and help me. So he has settled down somewhat right now. And we're coping with it. Yeah.
Okay. And you raise another interesting point, and that is support. Support from your family, support from friends, your community. So speak to us a little more about that area, Leah, in terms of the level of support you would have received from family and friends and community.
Okay. My support, some of it was surprising because some of my best friends right now, we were working together, but since that we never really interacted that sort of way unless we had to work together in that department. And they really, when they heard about it, they came and they really assisted, and we are good friends today. Mm-hmm. My cousin, I don't know what to do without her. My mother and my friend Marva, they really, really come together. And I had some friends that would just come because, you know, I'm sitting in the house all day and I'm seeing people walking. I was an active person. I'm seeing people walking and going about their business, and I could not do that. So it starts to play on your mind. And they will come and they will take me for drives just to clear my head, or they will call me just to check up and talk and chat, like stuff like that. And they will bring books and DVDs for me to watch and stuff. So I really appreciate that. And without that support, it would have been a totally different story.
I know that that can make a huge difference in each of our lives, the level of support we receive from family, friends, and the community.
Yep. You really need that support.
And what about the school system, the educational system? Your son would have been at school at the time.
Uh-huh. Well, his teachers, I talked to them and stuff, and they understood the challenges that he would have and how he was reacting and stuff, and they were really there for him.
Mm-hmm.
Really there for him, let's say.
Good, good, good. Renison?
Yes, Liz?
In terms of the support now for you and your son, because
Well, for me, the really support was kind of so much the support I got from, like, my mom and my daughter and some from my sister, especially when my son was concerned. Mm-hmm. They really stepped up to the plate and was there for him, especially during after his mom passed away. They were really there for him. So for me, myself, my support came from a couple of friends that stepped up to the plate, as
Leah
has said. I not expect them to, but they did. You know, they came and they checked on me. There was times when, you know, I was kind of really depressed because I had gone from laying in bed in the hospital every day to literally doing the same thing at home, and it was like I wanted to go outside and get some fresh air. I mean, when I first came home, I was in a wheelchair, so you know, my mom would take me for walks, but I had some friends that came and actually took me out, let me enjoy myself, and brought me back home, make sure I got things safe.
Right.
So that was a blessing, because that is a lot of different feelings I had where being depressed and stuff was concerned, so.
You are listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and today my special guests are Leah Fields and Renison Lawrence, as we discuss parenting, especially as men and women with disabilities. So welcome back, Liet and Renison. So we can continue the conversation where we will look at the educational system, Renison, in terms of how has the school worked with you, or you worked with the school in finding some of the better solutions or the best solutions for your son with ADHD?
Well, for me, I found that what had happened was where he was concerned in school, all his teachers, luckily for me, I had his teacher actually was an old school mate of mine from primary school. So she was glad in working with him and stuff. And then also we were we had some help from the ministry, and also they had assigned him to do child guidance, where he goes once a month and speak with a psychiatrist, and you know, then they prescribe like medication and stuff for him, so he help him keep calm during the day when he's the school had done a lot, because I had luckily for me, one of my former class schoolmates when he was from primary school was his teacher from class, I think it was class 1 straight through to class 4. So she had allowed me to get in contact with the ministry, which had set us up with him to do child guidance once a month, and they like prescribed the medication and stuff for him to take so he would be more calm in class.
Right.
So,
and I must say that the child guidance clinic at the Black Rock Polyclinic,
yes,
or
please,
rather the Brantford Tate Polyclinic, they really are doing excellent work in working with our children, helping them to, you know, definitely manage their different injuries and conditions so that they're able to, as you said, to adjust to the classroom setting and the home setting, and really strive in becoming a well-developed adult.
And I have to definitely agree with that, because before he was going to the clinic and was able to get on the medication, I had an incident with him once where he actually got up from his class and told his teacher he felt like running, and she told him to go and sit back down, and my son proceeded to walk out the classroom and run 2 laps from the pastor and then come back to the classroom. And my said, I good now, we can sit down.
Okay, so, okay. Well, we also have to say a special thank you to the many teachers who have been working with special needs children. And sometimes we know it can be trying, but we really appreciate the work that they are doing with our children with disabilities. So now let's look a bit more now into the future in terms of what are some of your thoughts. How would you like to see issues around disability being dealt with, you know, in terms of policy, in terms of programs? How would you want to see Barbados going forward?
Well, I would like to see, like BCC, there's a lot of steps there, and the campus is really big. I would like to see, like, access to these places being put in place for the disabled.
Mm-hmm.
Something as simple as getting on the bus. Sometimes you're at the bus stop a long time, then when the bus comes, there's no seat because no one wants to get up and give you a seat.
Right.
Some people look at you like, you know, this is your problem, this is not my problem, so it can never happen to me. But I was normal, and in the blink of an eye, I had my injury. And I never used to know anybody that was disabled. And there needs to be more empathy in the community towards disabled people. And sometimes I get the comment that you look very strong and nothing can be wrong with you. There needs to be a more understanding, because we talk, but we don't practice what we preach. And sometimes we would like to do stuff, but there are limitations to what we can do, and we just need a little bit more understanding of that. Like, to do classes and to further ourselves and probably get a business started, and that stuff.
Well, Leah, you said that, you know, that there are that we have limitations, but every single human being has limitations. And we all find ways of doing a particular task differently.
Yeah.
So, you know, our impairments may be, because they may be visible most of the time, people do want to show some measure of prejudice and discrimination and stigma toward individuals with disabilities.
Yeah.
What about you, Renison?
For me, I feel more as a matter of inclusion, because automatically, so I realize that what some of those things they do is for them to see me walking, coming, I limp in, and then my hand might not look right to them, you know, they automatically start discriminating in the sense of, you know. They say that you can't do this, you can't do the next, you can't do the third, and some of it is a little daunting because
there are no placing restrictions on you
I told a friend about 2 days ago, he was like, but I was, you moving stronger now, and this and I was like, my thing is that I'm the same person I was
before
2 years ago before I had my stroke. The only difference is now that my fingers don't go, my hand don't go complete out, and I can't fully lose my left hand, and I walk with a little limp. That's about it, but I'm still the exact same person. Mm-hmm. And he was shocked to hear me say that. He was like, but you know you're in the same. I said, no, I am the same. It's just I look different, but I'm the same person. A lot of people don't seem to think that we are the same people, or we just as human or go through the same emotions or dealing with the same they are dealing with because we got disabilities. And I find that's one that's something I have bought on, ran into on many different occasions. That have judged me because of my disability and not by who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, as you raise up that point, Renison, I'm thinking that, again, sometimes some people, when they recognize that you have a disability and you are a parent, tend to challenge the you know, ask you the question, how do you manage? How do you manage as a parent with a disability? And then if they recognize that you have a disability and a child or one of your children has a disability, they then do a sort of a pity party with you, want to do a pity party with you, you know? So speak to us about that, Liette and Renaissance.
Well, for me, most of my friends and everyone who really knows me knew that due of my son's condition from before. So everyone is like, they're really sympathetic to me now, where they would know that I'm not able to do what I used to. And they're constantly seeing me and him together out, walking and stuff and that, things like that. I cannot do it. At one point in time, they would be like, they were more wondering how he was coping because as he's a child, by his country, he needs constant supervision.
Mm-hmm.
So, unlike others where you could, like, you could let your child go sit and ramble and play, you have always got your eye on him.
Right.
Right. So I find that a lot of people were like, my friends would be like, okay, if anything, you want me to hold up on him for you this weekend, this evening, or do you want me to take him to football for you? And they were very helpful on where that was concerned. But then there was times when, you know, people who don't know me would be like, you know, you didn't even have the same thing. The bad look that they gave you would have said it all.
Okay.
It was more of a judgment than anything else because they're judging you because of how you look. And that was always that was the only problem I really had, I could say, where dealing with him was concerned.
Right. What about you, Liette?
Well, I didn't say anything before. My son has epilepsy. It was a number of years that he has not had a seizure. But I remember at one point in time where we both had doctor's appointment at the same time. So I was in one part of the hospital, and he was in the next with my sister. And I was talking to my doctor and talking to his doctor on the phone. I laugh about that sometimes, but thankfully he did not have a seizure.
Right.
In the last few years. So my parenting style has not changed. I have people who have married me for my parenting style, you know. But it was easy. I don't have anybody taking pity on me for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was easy. Yeah.
Would you say that being a parent and secondly acquiring a disability has made you more assertive and really focus on what you want to do and what you want to achieve?
Yes, I have. And not only what I want to achieve, but what my son wants to achieve.
Right.
You have time now to sit down and help them to achieve their goals in this life. Because they do need that push to get there and that attention. And they may not show it at the time, but they really do appreciate it.
Right. Renaissance?
Yeah. It's funny she said that they don't really appreciate it because sometimes it's like, it feels like, how will they put it? My son knows that well. At one point in time, if I give the hand that do a step up, I mean that this move is sit down and keep quiet or licks. But now it's like, he knows I have said, but he does things and then ducks and hides because he knows I can't run behind him.
Okay.
But sometimes I find that there are times when he can be very, he shows his, himself being very loving and very things. So it's like I try my best just to be there with him as best as I can. Like, so I try my best to just do what I have to do
right,
to make sure that he is okay.
Great.
I've gotten to the point where I've literally, you know, my daughter's going to have to take care of herself, so I was putting him first and allowing him to express himself how he does.
Right.
And with his schoolwork and then try to be there as best as I can to help him as much as possible because as he's now entered secondary school and he's trying to really get into that transition.
Right, good.
So,
can you, both of you, share a fond memory or one of a really memorable moment that you would have had with your child, Liette, and Renaissance, with your children, your daughter and your son?
Go ahead, Renaissance.
Well, for me, I found one of the most fondest memories I have with my, me since I had disability, would be...
Not necessarily, generally.
In generally.
Yes.
Where my daughter was concerned, I literally raised my daughter by myself with the help of my mom. So when she was younger, she was connected to my hip. Everywhere I went, she was next to me. And I remember taking her out and we just being out and people admiring how she was up underneath me, how she would. And we was having a conversation with a lady at one point in time and the lady asked her what her mommy was and she pointed to me. And it made lady laugh. So, you know, for now, your mommy, that's your daddy. She said, no, that's my mommy and my daddy.
Okay. And with your son?
And with my son, I remember when I first came back in from the hospital and I was sitting in my wheelchair and he was like, daddy, I don't want to hurt you, but I want a hug. I want to sit down and you like, and give you a hug. He came and gave me a hug and a kiss. And I was like, he was like, daddy, don't worry. I hear.
Okay,
like,
nice.
That worked.
Yes, yes. Great. Wonderful memories. Liette?
Yeah.
My son, I remember he had his first job interview. He came home and gave me a hug. I always get hugs every day. I love you. He came home and gave me a hug and said, Mom, I just want to thank you for keeping me out of trouble. You know, I may not have understood it then, but I understood it now. And thank you, and I love you. So that was really nice.
Good, yeah. It's rewarding when your children, you know, respond to the training that you have provided and then are able to see the value of it and come back to you to say thank you.
Yeah.
So I want to say thank you very much to you, Liette Fields and Renaissance Lawrence, for so willingly sharing about your experiences acquiring a disability and raising your children.
You're welcome.
Very much for sharing.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudley Wickham-Ashby, and I want to encourage you to continue sending me your feedback, any questions that you would want me to answer. Remember, you can contact me via the telephone at 1-246-269-9660. You can WhatsApp me on that number as well, or through Starcom Network at 1-246-430-7300. And you can check this program on the VOB929.com website, where you can look for the podcast link, scroll down until you find Visions, listen to this and other past episodes. And, of course, you can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. So until next week, stay safe and love yourself.